Hi, welcome to a Stanlib Economic Podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the Chief Economist within Stanlib. In this podcast, we want to discuss two key factors. The first is the medium-term budget policy statement that was released today by the Minister of Finance. I thought there were a number of important positives that the Minister articulated. And then the second topic is to have a look at the National Treasury's endorsement of the Reserve Bank's inflation target. They've confirmed that the target is going to change to a point target of 3% with a leeway of 1 percentage points either way. And I think that's a good move, and it certainly increases the prospect of us being able to achieve that 3% outcome over time. So we'll unpack those two topics, and hopefully the overall news is more encouraging, and I think in general, South Africa's economic backdrop has generally become a little bit more optimistic in recent months. So let's start with a discussion on South Africa's medium-term budget policy statement that was released today by the Minister of Finance. Overall, I thought it was very encouraging. And so in my mind, there are seven key positives that I want to go through. And I think in combination, these seven key positives paint a picture of South Africa's fiscal position moving into a better space, and that I think it will be encouraging for credit rating agencies and also investors, both locally and internationally. So what are the seven key positives? I'll try to go through them quite quickly because obviously we don't have a huge amount of time in this podcast, but let's work through the key areas. The first is revenue collection. The minister announced that tax revenue collection exceeded budget by 19.7 billion. If we break that down, there was a revenue overrun on the VAT side and also corporate taxes. Individual taxes a little bit behind budget, which I must say did surprise me, but I don't think it's too far behind budget. But you would say overall the revenue collection has held up well, especially when you consider that the growth rate in South Africa is just above 1%. Now, I think that National Treasury was admitting that in terms of their revenue estimate for corporates, they hadn't really taken into account the most recent increases in the platinum and gold price. And so there is a possibility that corporate tax revenue will further exceed budget when we get to next year, because obviously December is a huge month in terms of corporate tax collection. And so it's entirely feasible that the minister, in terms of the main budget next year, will be able to present a further tax revenue overrun. But even if he doesn't, the 19 billion, I think, is very welcome and certainly sets a good tone and signals that the South African Revenue Service is in a position to improve tax collection and clearly has been able to bolster their various systems and to ensure a higher level of tax compliance. The second positive is the containment of government expenditure. Yes, the minister did say that they're going to have to allocate an additional 15 billion to various spending initiatives, but I think within the scheme of it, that is certainly very manageable. And the reason why I think it's a positive is that you could imagine under current circumstances with high unemployment, low growth, failing infrastructure, problems with service delivery, there would be a huge amount of pressure on the government to spend even more money. And so for the government to be able to contain expenditure overall, I think is welcome. And it does suggest that that National Treasury is holding the key government departments to their budgets and not allowing for expenditure overruns to simply take place without any sort of consequence. The third positive is the primary budget surplus. Now, I don't think this gets enough attention in South Africa, and we've been able to generate a primary budget surplus for a couple of years, and the minister is projecting that that surplus will increase further over the next few years. To remind people, what is a primary budget surplus? In essence, it says that if you ignore the interest cost of government debt, then government revenue would exceed expenditure, and hence you would have a surplus if it weren't for the interest cost. Now, clearly the interest cost matters hugely, but it does speak to the underlying level of fiscal discipline, and it's something the credit rating agencies focus on enormously. And so I think there has to be an acknowledgement that in the background, the government is trying to be disciplined, and there's clear evidence of that, and that the bulk of their expenditure is taking account of how revenue is performing, and they're not simply spending irrespective of what revenue collection is doing. The fourth positive, I would say, is the fiscal consolidation overall. By that, I mean, if you look at the debt to GDP profile, yes, it goes up a little bit this year, but overall, it's reasonably well contained relative to recent years. And the trajectory still shows that government intends to be able to bring down the debt to GDP ratio over the next couple of years. And you get the distinct impression that they are adamant in being able to achieve that. Now, part of the problem the government has with the debt to GDP ratio is that nominal GDP is not rising the way they anticipated. That's partly because the growth rate is fairly low, but also because the inflation rate is low. And so nominal GDP, if it's not increasing at a rapid pace, then it obviously puts your debt to GDP ratio under increasing strain. And I think to some extent that's contributed to our current profile. Overall, if I look at where the debt servicing cost is relative to revenue, if I look at the set of fiscal parameters that we would normally examine, the deficit ratio, etc., I think they all show an intention to consolidate government's fiscal position further. They all show a level of fiscal discipline, and I think that has to be recognized. Clearly, the limitation is the efficiency of how we spend money, and that's a whole different debate, and there's a hell of a lot we've got to do to improve the efficiency of government spending. But in terms of how much we're spending and whether we're spending in line with tax revenue, I think we would have to acknowledge that that is being well achieved and that the government is serious about ongoing fiscal consolidation. The fifth positive for me is the lower borrowing requirement. I think ahead of the medium-term budget, most people didn't expect to see a change in the borrowing requirement. And I think if government hadn't changed it, I think it would have been acceptable. I don't think there would have been a significant fallout in markets, particularly in bond markets. But government's taken the opportunity to reduce the borrowing requirement. And that sends a very powerful message. It says that our fiscal position has improved to that extent that we're comfortable in simply borrowing less on a weekly basis. And I think that has helped with the rally in bond yields. And I think on an ongoing basis will further support the bond market and therefore make it effectively cheaper for government to borrow. And so I think it's a smart move. There's clearly a risk if you don't get the revenue holding up the way you anticipate, then it's possible that at some point you have to come back to the market and increase your debt issuance. But I'm assuming National Treasury has done their homework around these parameters and obviously feel comfortable that, yes, they can achieve a further reduction in debt issuance. And I think that will go down well, both locally and internationally. The sixth positive is the transfer from the Jafekra account. The Jafekra account sits within the South African Reserve Bank, and effectively it represents the revaluation of South Africa's gold and foreign exchange reserves. Now, the government has already tapped into the Jafekra account, so I won't go through the history of it, but it turns out there's an additional revaluation that is in that account, and therefore in terms of the rules or the parameters that the government and together with the Reserve Bank are setting in place, they can transfer additional funds to National Treasury. And so the Reserve Bank will now transfer around about 31 billion back to National Treasury, and they've said they will use that additional $31 billion to reduce government debt. And I think that's a good outcome. You can debate whether or not the Jafekra account should be utilized at all, but I think internationally it's fairly standard practice, and the Reserve Bank has set up clear parameters on how that account can be accessed and under what circumstances additional monies would be transferred. And I think the Reserve Bank is simply adhering to those guidelines that have already put in place. And then the seventh positive, the last positive for me, is the fact that National Treasury has now formally endorsed a change in the inflation target. Remember a little while ago, the Reserve Bank went out on their own to say that they had changed the inflation goal to a 3% level and that they were going to achieve that irrespective of any specific endorsement or lack of endorsement from National Treasury. That obviously caused some sort of breakdown in the relationship between National Treasury and the Reserve Bank, but I think it's been mended, and I think National Treasury has done some additional work and certainly appears to be endorsing the work that the Reserve Bank has done. And I must say the Reserve Bank has done a comprehensive set of analysis that explains the benefits of reducing the inflation target, the cost of reducing the target, and the timelines, etc. So I think given all of that work, given that inflation is already well under control, and given the long-term benefits of keeping inflation, let's say, at 3%, I think it's a good outcome that the National Treasury has formally endorsed that. And so now we have an official target of 3% with a leeway of 1 percentage point either way. So effectively, I guess you could argue we have an inflation band of 2 to 4%, but I don't think you're going to hear much about the band. The focus is going to be on the 0.3%, the target as a point number, and that the Reserve Bank, together with National Treasury, are going to be very mindful of trying to achieve that outcome on an ongoing basis. And the Reserve Bank has made it clear that they don't just want to achieve the 3% target on a fleeting basis. They want to become, well, they want that to become an embedded part of South Africa's economic framework. So if I look at those seven positives, I put them together in combination, I would argue they're very powerful. I think they support the markets, bond market. Indirectly, I think they support the equity market. They certainly support the rand. And I think it's entirely feasible that when we get to Friday this week, Standard & Poor's will make a decision to upgrade South Africa's credit rating. Standard & Poor's put us on a positive outlook exactly a year ago, and they've kept us on that positive outlook. And I would suggest that the range of factors that the National Treasury has now presented would justify that upgrade. Yes, the weakness is we still don't have enough economic growth going on in the country, and clearly the growth rate is not yet at a point where people's livelihoods are improving, where there's a massive increase in employment, where there's a significant uplift in household living conditions, etc. So the growth rate remains a clear weakness in South Africa, but I think there's enough being done in terms of the fiscal parameters to justify an upgrade. That would leave us still well below investment grade, so it's not as if we're suggesting S&P will take us to investment grade. I think we're some way away from that, but I think given where the rating currently is, I think the developments that have unfolded during the course of this year would justify the S&P upgrading us. So I'm hopeful that happens. And in general, I think this was a good set of parameters. I think most people would feel that there are certainly a lot more positives than negatives. Actually, I struggle to find any meaningful negatives within the medium-term budget. There's obviously areas you would want to see improved efficiency of government spending, more money on infrastructure, more focus on job creation, more effort on making it easier to do business. There are always these issues. But given what was realistically achievable, I think National Treasury pretty much achieved that. And so overall, I would think this was a good outcome. And I think it should be pleasing for most people who look at these numbers in a bit of detail. The second part of this podcast is a quick focus on the decision by National Treasury to formally change South Africa's inflation target. As most people are aware, we've had an inflation target of 3 to 6% for a number of decades, and the Reserve Bank has done very well in achieving that target. In fact, if you look over the last 10 years, the South African Reserve Bank has achieved the target 75% of the time. Now, 75% is a very good outcome. I've looked at a whole range of other central banks, and there are many central banks who have a lower target than what we have. But in truth, they only achieve that target maybe 40, 45% of the time. And so they would claim, yes, we've got a low target, and this is what we adhere to. But the reality is they're not always at that target, and many times they're not even close to the target. Whereas I think our 3 to 6% was mostly achieved by the Reserve Bank. And you would say, of course, it can be achieved because the target is much higher. But I think you've still got to get there, right? So I think that our history with achieving the inflation target environment is good. Now, over time, the Reserve Bank systematically revised their focus. You would argue that in the initial phase of our inflation targeting efforts, we were focused on the 6% level, not on the 3 to 6, and we were happy if inflation was sitting at just below 6%. But over time, the Reserve Bank realized that's far from ideal, and so they started to then articulate that they wanted to achieve a 4.5% outcome. That meant that the target itself wasn't changed, but the focus within the target changed, and so the Reserve Bank kept reiterating that 4.5% is really their goal. And to their credit, again, they were able to achieve that. And so they were able to systematically get South Africa's inflation rate down to more or less 4.5%. And that's been the case for now a couple of years. But again, as time has gone on, the Reserve Bank has looked around, looked at other countries, looked at other countries' revisions to their inflation target, and have arrived at a key conclusion, and that is South Africa's inflation target is much higher than our peers, certainly much higher than most other emerging markets. And when we look at most emerging markets, they have a target of 3% with a slight leeway either side, whereas the developed markets tend to have a target of 2%. And so the pressure was building on the Reserve Bank, both within and outside, particularly internationally, to achieve a lower inflation outcome. And so this became a key focus for the governor of the South African Reserve Bank. And so he took the opportunity when inflation came down and seemed to be well under control to then announce that we were going to achieve this 3% goal. And I think the timing of that was appropriate. By that I mean he saw an opportunity where inflation was, for whatever reason, well contained. And it's very clear that you have a much better chance of achieving a lower target if you are already in the proximity of that target. And so he took that opportunity and he's got the full support of the Monetary Policy Committee. And so they made that announcement at one of the MPC meetings. Unfortunately, there wasn't great communication between themselves and National Treasury, and that caused a bit of a discord that played out a bit in the media. I don't think it was a major issue, and subsequently, I think it has been resolved. And so National Treasury today announced that South Africa will now formally adopt a 3% inflation outcome as the target. And that's good news. There will be a leeway allowed around that target, a 1 percentage point either way. And so that does give some area for the inflation rate to fluctuate within, but it will start to inform the Monetary Policy Committee of the Reserve Bank that if inflation rate is moving above 4%, then they need to do something about it. And equally, if inflation is moving below 2%, they need to do something about that. And so it's not just a question of keeping inflation as low as possible. It's about keeping inflation anchored at around that 3% level. If I look at our inflation outcome over the last 12 months, it's averaged 3.1%. So you could argue we are already at that target. But the Reserve Bank has said that they're going to continue their efforts to ensure or cement that inflation remains at 3%. And they believe we can get that achieved by the year 2027. And clearly, if we are able to get there, then when we get there, we will be able to reap the benefit of that. And part of the benefit of having a low inflation rate is you can then reduce systematically the interest rate and effectively reduce the cost of capital and therefore reduce the cost of funding our infrastructure rebuild and generally undertaking investment within South Africa. So there's some very substantial positives if this target can be achieved. And at this stage, there doesn't really appear to be a reason why we can't get there or thereabouts. And even if we don't get exactly to 3%, I think it's possible that we could achieve something close enough where people look at South Africa and say, yes, there has been a step change, and they view South Africa in a different light. The other benefit, obviously, if we can get that target achieved, is we should have a more stable exchange rate, and that in itself then starts to reinforce a more stable inflation environment. And I think generally it would help with the encouragement of foreign investment. So it's certainly a goal worth achieving, and I think a lot of people will be pleased that the National Treasury has formally endorsed that. And there will be documentation released. I think there will be further updates from the Reserve Bank on what that means and how they are going to go about achieving that. They've already articulated much of that. There's a key interest rate decision next week. People are divided whether or not there's scope to change rates. Irrespective of that, I think you're going to see a Reserve Bank that is now becoming more emboldened in their efforts to achieve a 3% goal over the next couple of years.
Standard Asset Management Pty Limited is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FIRES Act. This podcast should not be construed as advice.